My brothers and sisters, I am told or have heard that there was this man who thought that he was John the Baptist. And he was really disturbing the neighborhood, so for public safety, he was committed. And so they take him away to the mental hospital, and he goes out to the common room and immediately began his preaching. And he said, "I am John the Baptist. Jesus Christ has sent me." And as the story goes, this guy on the other side of the room looks up at him and shouts, "I did not." I think that's hilarious. It's my favorite John the Baptist joke, because there are so many to choose from, right? Today in our gospel lesson, we talk about one of the greats of the Bible. I've always liked this guy, the one we call John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. He was wildly eccentric, which is a term that you use to call people who are crazy, but you like them anyway. There's a very thin, blurred line between passionate genius and insanity. People like John worked from a very different view of the world, a very different reality than those of us who are burdened with too much sanity and common sense. Two things Jennifer has never accused me of having. John seems pretty impressive. Drew some large crowds, really. Really seemed to have made a mark. So much so that the authors of all four Gospels actually mention him, and mention specifically that he was not the Messiah. In various ways, they quote John himself to assure the reader this man was not the promised one. Why bother? I'm not sure, and there may not be any good way to tell, but I suspect it was because John originally had more followers than Jesus did. After all, when Paul got to Ephesus, according to the book of Acts, he found that John's missionaries had already been there. The new Christian church didn't want to just convert Jews. It wanted to gather in Jews who had already been converted to John's banner. And here's your 50-cent trivia for the day. There are still followers of John the Baptist out there. The Mendians, a sect that is largely in Iraq and very heavily persecuted, still claim to be followers of John and believe that he was the one promised by Old Testament prophecies. John, though, was a prophet who called people to repentance. Repentance. I've often said, I think every Advent I mention this, and it is so important, the word that is used in the New Testament here for what John is preaching, this repentance, is the Greek word metanoia. And it is a term which literally means change your mind. What John is doing is calling for the people to change what they are doing. Although John sounds like this angry finger pointer, turn before you burn sort of preacher, the crowds suggest that they welcomed his message. You see, the common misconception is that John the Baptist, and perhaps even the others like him, other prophets, were not calling us a group of sinners, although that may be what we are, and that we should feel bad about it. Instead, they were calling on us to transform ourselves, to change our minds, our actions, our ways of living, so that we can be the people God needs and dreams for us to be. The prophets called on us to change who we are. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why so many of the prophets got themselves killed. Do you like change? No. Nobody likes change. Nobody does unless it's a change that benefits them. John the Baptist called on us to change for the benefit of our souls and our society. And that's good news to the poor and the pious, but it is very uncomfortable for the rest of us. Newton's first law of motion states that everything continues in a state of rest unless it's compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. That includes human beings, my brothers and sisters. We are resistant to moving outside of the ordinary ways of doing things, of thinking, or of being. It takes real force to make us move from our positions. And what are these deeply entrenched positions that put us down, stick us down, and we don't wish to move from? Well, I think they differ from person to person and from season to season. Some may remain with us all our lives unless intentionally noticed and uprooted. unless we take heed and do actually change our minds and transform our ways. These entrenched positions may be our titles, our work, our station in life, our wealth, our hubris, our unfounded belief in self-reliance, our feelings of superiority, the way that we look on the poor, the old, the young, the rich, the haves, and the have-nots. John the Baptist, and indeed the Old Testament prophets, the writings of the apostles, and even the teachings of Christ himself, tell us that we must put aside those things that separate us. Separate us from God, separate us one from another, and separate us from being who we are truly called to be. God, through these men and women, call us to change the way we think, make new priorities, and become agents for change and heralds of the gospel. The readings for the second Sunday of Advent call us to change within, radical change that will transform us into heralds of Christ. These changes are to take place deep within us so that we can become truly transformed within through the saving grace of Christ. The kind of change that we must strive for each and every day during the Advent season is the type of interior renewal that will actually rewire us to imitate Christ more perfectly. This metanoia, this change within, enables us to make Christ's presence known and felt by all that we meet. By changing our minds about what is important to us, by moving closer to the mind of Christ, we can change hatred to love, violence to peace, and selfishness to generosity. What a crazy thing that would be. Peter says in our epistle lesson today, do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. I rather like the idea of God being patient with me as I come around to changing my own mind. It's crazy to think that we could change the world by changing our minds, but my brothers and sisters, we can. All it takes is one crazy heart on fire to thaw the souls around them. It worked for John the Baptist. The crowds came to that crazy man because what he had to say made sense, reminded them of their better nature, and reminded them of who they could be if they only worked to change themselves, even if it was only a little at a time. This change he was talking about was crazy. The change he called for wasn't easy. It required then, as it does now, lots of work on ourselves. But it can move us all to a place where we can truly live as God has dreamed for us to live. Change may be slow, but my brothers and sisters, it can come, and it can do amazing things. Now, I don't think anyone will argue that we live in a crazy world. Maybe the best way to make it a better place is to be our own kind of crazy. Maybe we're all crazy anyway. Maybe, just maybe, we might be crazy like John the Baptist. Maybe that's just what we all need to change ourselves and to change the world. My brothers and sisters, let's get crazy. Amen.